Hello, Sylvia Hartley again, with a little monologue called Leftovers. What has our Eileen been saying? I bet it's about that television. I can't see what on earth it's got to do with her anyway. I know she's my daughter, but please, I can actually make a decision on my own. Does something happen when your kids reach middle age? Something that makes them think that they're in charge? All I've done is buy a new TV without a consultation. I went to that Natter shop in town, the one where people actually speak to you in words you can understand. Well, I told him that I wanted one of these with these newfangled bits on. Mrs. Carter has one. And if she's missed a programme, she can sort of find it on a catch-up thingamy. Righty-o, he said. And he showed me one or two and what you could do with them. He said he'd bring one to my house and show me how it would to work it. In fact, he said he'd write down some instructions that I could understand. Well, that were good enough for me, so I said yes. So here I am, all set up with iPlayer and all other catch-up bits. He called them apps. He was as good as his word, and I've got a sheet of notes. And what's better, he talked me through it slowly. When our Eileen tried to show me how to use my new mobile, well, her cast-off, because she's been upgraded. She went that fast, I couldn't make head nor tail of it. In fact, I had to get chap at library to sort me out. She got right annoyed when I kept saying what and pardon. I think you need your hearing testing. You have to concentrate, was what I got. You've paid all that money. You could have had the one in the back bedroom for nothing. She looked at it rather too closely for my liking. Are you sure it's not too complicated for you? It's quite a new model. I wanted a new one, I told her. And I wanted a modern one with hot bits on. Well, she huffed a bit. You know what I mean? She put her head on one side and said, let's wait and see. And she tottered down my path in those stupid heels and off she drove. I felt a bit cross, but it made me feel as if I'd had a little victory, like when I told my mum I'd been at Mary Tyler's house and I'd actually been out with Brian Peters. But what so any more about that? But I didn't fancy meeting him again. I made a mental list of all my cast-offs. My rug, which had been Eileen's, she said it would cover warm bits on my carpet by its sofa. Well, I didn't like it, never wanted it, but you know how persuasive she is. Anything for a quiet life. My table lamp, our Mary, my sister-in-law, had it. Surplus to requirements, she told me. Even my kettle had been Eileen's, and my duvet cover had come from Eileen's mother-in-law. She's very florally to suit her better than me, she told Eileen. I always thought it were wishy-washy, and I wasn't keen on it. But I didn't see it when I was asleep. Me and Mrs. Webster were talking about it. Her Daniel was always giving her stuff, whether she wanted them or not. I was just a dumping ground for the cast-offs. Well, then, he brought me that horrible figure thing of a chef with a little chalkboard for writing on that he used to be in their kitchen. That were enough. Nothing against chefs, but somehow its eyes followed you around the room. Honestly, I couldn't sleep. I knew it were downstairs, but it were creepy, so I took Bull by horns or Chef by his notice board, which incidentally were cracked, and slug it into the skip outside fish shop when it were dark. After that, it were easy getting rid of stuff. By gum, that's just what I'm going to do. And I cleared off home. First to go went rug. I rolled it up and asked my neighbour if she'd take it to the charity shop where she worked. Then I went into town to a carpet warehouse and asked someone to come and measure me for a new carpet for the room. I chose a right lovely pale green, a bit mottled-like so it wouldn't show every mark. The lamp, well, I gave it to Miss Forthrop at our Natter Group. She always said she liked it. And to be honest, it were quite a nice one, but I wanted to choose my own. I were feeling quite good, especially when I saw a really lovely antique brass-looking one in Wilco's. Now I needed some bedding, so I got on train to Pudsey and had a look at M&S. They've loads, and I chose a pretty pale blue one with forget-me-nots embroidered on it that'd go in my carpet. And so it went on. Now, I had set myself a budget, so I wasn't being silly or out, but by gum, it felt good. I don't see our Eileen so often as she's always busy, working full-time and organising her two kiddies, but she does ring quite a lot. I weren't going to tell her about me new do, so when she rang when carpet fitters were here, I had to pretend I were watching some at Hunt Telly. Turn it down, she told me, and I had to pretend I couldn't find remote. I told you that TV was too complicated for you, she said triumphantly. Little did she realise what were really going on. I sort of coughed and tried to sound flummoxed and told her I'd ring her when I found it. I got used to all my new stuff. All my own. It felt good to have done it. But I got a feeling someone's had a word with her. Well, they'd have seen carpet van outside. Oh, and I forgot to say, I bought a new sofa as well. Well, she rang me yesterday, just as me and Mrs. W were trying to do crossword, asking me if I was all right and saying she'd pop by on her way home from work. Just remember, no leftovers, called Mrs. W as she pottered off home. Not unless they're solid gold. I think my daughter's going to have a bit of a shock. I don't know, we'll need a sherry first. Well, she's driving, so she can't have one.